Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we have it open before us. We are blessed to, if we want a Bible, it's really easy to find one, or if we want to listen to it. So we're blessed. We don't want to take that for granted. And it's a blessing to gather here freely and have our Bibles open, to sing praises to you, to worship you, fellowship together. We do all this without the persecution that many in this world face, and we do lift our brothers and sisters who do face that up to you and pray that you would keep them strong in their faith. For us today, Lord, we desire to hear from you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our lives through your word. Help us to understand and apply your truth to our lives. And Lord, help us to grow in relationship with you. And that picture of the vine and the branches, Lord, that we would remain in you, abide in you. And we pray for the children downstairs, that they would grow stronger and stronger in your word and in their faith in you. Pray especially they'd know of your love and your grace. And us too, Lord, that we would know that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this morning, Book of Philippians, and not really a review of the book, that even an hour would be short for a full review. But we'll look at a couple of, say, highlights or main themes. And also, thinking of going through this, it's a short letter in the Bible, but so much packed into it, and then, you know, coming to the end of it and then thinking, okay, how do we live this? Like, what, practically speaking, what do we do with this, what we've learned? And I came across a quote by Warren Wiersbe, who is a pastor and Bible commentator. And he said this: don't lose what you have learned. The best thing about Bible study isn't the learning, but the living. In order to live it, we do need to learn it. But if it stays at acquiring knowledge, I mean, really the best thing is to, you know, take what we learn and live it. The Christian life is meant to be lived. So how do we live what we have learned through our study in the book of Philippians? And for each one of us, there will be certain things through this particular portion of God's word that would stand out to us. For some of us, it might be the same things, but there'll be certain things that may be more impactful. And that is the wonderful thing about God's word and the Holy Spirit, is he will speak to us right where we're at. So one of the central things in the book of Philippians is found in chapter 2. Now, it's not rejoice or have joy, which is absolutely a theme or something that's mentioned over and over in the book of Philippians. But in chapter 2, the first verses, it's very much about having the mind of Christ, or having that mind which is in Christ. So verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. So whether we're talking about having unity or having joy or peace, you know, contentment we talked about, you know, having this mind that which was also in Christ is very much central to that. It's very important. And so this week that was on my mind. You know, what is it to have the mind of Christ, and then how do we, you know, walk out what we've learned in God's word? First of all, thinking of the term mind. And some of your translations, depending which one you have, some of them might translate this attitude instead of mind in this passage. Biblically speaking, the term mind is often associated with the heart and encompassing thoughts, emotions, will. Like it's, think of the command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Like these things are different, yet they're closely connected as well. So just know that when we talk about the term mind, it is mind, heart, will, you know, the center of our being kind of thing, like who we are. So just our thoughts. That's where I'm going with this. So, and our attitude, our actions will, you know, be a reflection of our heart, mind, soul. So let this mind be in you, which Christ had. So that's a very high bar, to say the least. Have the mind of Christ, and it will all work quite well. And we know that would be true, right? We do fall short. So it's a matter of not being discouraged. Okay, I'm not Christ. I don't have his mind. But how can we live in such a way that we are growing to more and more have the mind, the attitude, the heart that Jesus has? And so Jesus is our example. As we go through the letter of Philippians, we went through it. Also, Paul gives us some examples. We see it modeled in Paul's life as well. So, a couple portions from Philippians, which I'll read through it. We've already covered it, but these are reminders. So, chapter 2, I'm going to read 1 through 11, and we've looked at some of this already this morning. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So we are to be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So, that's pretty clear. Not much easier to understand than to practice. However, it is pretty clear. And then verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So we're seeing Jesus, what his example was, what his mind was, his mindset. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Humility is a big one. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, The name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there's our example, which Jesus lived out. He was humble. He was obedient. Others over self-interest. He did not need to go to the cross for himself. He had no debt to pay. So that's the, as I said, it's a high bar, but there's characteristics that we see there that we are to have. Have this mind which Christ had. So let go of the reputation, whatever one we think we have, position. Be humble. Be obedient to God. Consider others. We are to have a heart and mind like that. One of the things I think about from, well, it's not just the book of Philippians, but with the Apostle Paul, is his mindset and his singleness of mind, as I would put it. It seems like he never lost sight of the gospel, his relationship with God and what God had called him to do or was asking him to do. He seemed to have a singleness of mind for Christ and for the gospel. And saying that, I'm pretty sure there was times when he struggled, because he was a man. He's not perfect. But he kept going. If he went down, he would get back up with the Lord's help and carry on. So the Apostle Paul is a great example of someone who keeps the right things in focus. That is Jesus, that is the gospel, and others. He was very concerned about ministering to others. It's part of the gospel, is an actual care, a burden for those who don't have an eternal hope. And so Paul certainly had a singleness of mind in this. A couple spots, passages in Philippians. So chapter 1, let's pick up in verse 20. Well, I'll start 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then it goes on, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful to you, or for you. So he certainly had this mindset of the best possible place to be is with Jesus, to be in the presence of God, to have my labor here on earth done. And yet, there's so much left yet. There's so many that need help or ministering to, and we can tell from the letter of Philippians that while Paul wanted to be in the presence of God, he had an understanding that God still had some things for him to do. And so he was excited about that as well. It's like, I don't know which to choose. But in there is this mindset, the best thing is to be in the presence of God. That's quite the mindset to have. Something that just stays with us. And chapter 3, and verse 7, I'll start in 7. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. And Paul had a lot, and prior to this, he's talking about what he had, his position, his heritage, his learning, his on and on. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Notice that. That's important. Loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul loved the Lord. I believe we can say that this relationship was precious to him above all things. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. There it is right there. Our righteousness does not come from the law. It comes from faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him. Again, we see that relational know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Like I said, we're not going to break all this down. We've done that in past weeks. But there is so much in these passages, right? And I encourage you to take time during the week and read through Philippians again and see which portions of it now the Holy Spirit impresses upon you. And verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So notice he presses towards the goal and then explains what that is, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Each of us has an upward call. Call to follow Christ. We use terms like discipleship or being a disciple, a follower, which means being a follower, a learner. And Paul says, I press in towards that, the prize, the upward call. So, how do we live following Jesus' example or following, say, someone like Paul's example from Scripture as he followed Christ? Or we can put it this way, how can we be of the same mind, that mind which was also in Christ? Because this is what we're told plainly to do. So I'd like to now just go through a few practical things. So first of all, in order to have that mind, whether you think of it as the mind or mindset, what really does need to happen or is important to happen is that we submit or surrender our mind to Christ. You know, I think mind, okay, it is tied to heart, it's tied to will. So submit or surrender our lives to Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's turn there. It lays it out so well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So it's beseech, implore. There's a sense there that's like it's leaning towards I beg you. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. NIV, I believe, spiritual act of worship. So it's an act of worship to be that living sacrifice. I do like this as well, as the New King James puts it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is the reasonable thing to do in light of who God is, who we are, what God has done. This is a reasonable thing. And do not be conformed to this world. So the world, society, however we want to describe it, culture, the world's a good term. That which is not submitted to God is always trying to get us to conform. Like fit that mold. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So when we talk about having the mind of Christ, and we are to be of one mind under Christ, it's going to take, okay, I'm going to submit to God, living sacrifice. How would we describe that? Jesus, Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. So we are to, it's that, okay, deny self. That is a submitting to God. Okay, not my will, but yours be done. Pick up the cross. Cross signifies death. It's, again, it's a denying self, then death to self, and follow. Daily. Maybe we could say hourly. Maybe it's less time than that. I have to go, Lord, I'm going to submit to you, surrender to you. So, not conforming, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, when it comes to having the mind which Christ has, ours, there's problems with ours. I know there's problems with mine. And so it's, okay, I'm going to surrender this to God. God, I want to have a mind that's more like yours. Help me. I don't want to conform. I do want to be transformed. How's that going to happen? Well, getting into God's word is going to help that a lot. We need his counsel. The world's got all kinds of counsel for us. Some of it's obvious. We see it. We go, that's terrible counsel. Some of it's more subtle, or we're jaded or used to it, so we don't see it so clearly. But as we know God's word more, we'll see the things that don't line up with it better. And something that has been on my mind lately is, and I like to think of God's word as his counsel to us. That's one way to think of it. Where are we receiving our counsel from? And this is, there is so much counsel around us that is not godly. Isaiah 9:6, it's a prophetic name of Jesus. Wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. Who should we be getting our counsel from? It should be the wonderful counselor. It's going to be God. And it is so easy to get our counsel mixed. I'll get mixed counsel. I'll put it that way. And it's certainly, in the broad sense, the church, I believe, is very much, like in the broad sense, like the church, broad, guilty of depending on the professionals, so to speak. Who are the professionals? Yeah. Well, we know who is the wonderful counselor. So we should be careful where our counsel is coming from. It needs to come from the Lord. And other counsel we get, it is good to receive counsel from others. It is. It is helpful. But where are they pointing us to? And where are they drawing from for wisdom, if you will? They need to be submitted to the Lord. That's what I would say. We get our counsel from people who are submitted to the Lord. Am I talking about getting your car fixed? No. A good mechanic, I would advise that. Right, so, I mean, how broad is this? Well, use your discernment. But there's so much in life where there's all this counsel that is just not, it's not godly, right? So, and it affects our mind. So, our minds, we don't want them being conformed to the world. Our heart, our mind, our soul, these things, things which are important to that, make sure the counsel is coming from godly sources and pointing us to Christ. And I like it in this sense, even to think of this, is this directing me to conform to the world, or is this directing me and being transformed? It's Romans 8:29. God has determined that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. So that is the direction. If we think about what direction we're actively going, we want to be going in that direction, not something that's opposed to that. So submitting our minds to Christ, very important. Submit and be transformed as our minds are renewed. I had a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, just talking about the comment was, well, I believe that everyone's heart is pure when they're born. And I was like, it's kind of a nice thought, I guess, but it's not biblically true. It doesn't seem to play out very well. And that is what does the Bible say? The heart is deceitfully wicked and beyond cure. So we need the Lord to intervene. Left up to us, it's not a transformation. That comes through him. So, practical things. The living out what we learn. Here's a few things as a wrap up to Philippians. So go, okay, we learned a lot. How can we live this out? One, submit your mind to the Lord each day. Surrender it. Submit, surrender, whatever term you like. They're the same. This is what we need to do. And we might say, well, we've surrendered to the Lord. We repented. We have forgiveness, salvation. And I can go with that. But then there's still this, am I submitting to him each day? Is my mind submitted to him? Are we doing that? And I believe this is good practice to go, Lord, today is for you. You've given me this day. I do want to submit to you, surrender to you. And I would just say for myself, I would also go in that, if I'm being honest before the Lord, I'm going, and we both know how difficult that can be for me, because it's so easy to stray. The greatest commandment, it's really that. Lord, I desire to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind today. Please help me. That's about as complicated as I can make it. For me, that's the basic. These are the basics, hopefully uncomplicated basics, at least some of them. Submit to God. Commit to loving him. It's the greatest commandment, daily. It's an act of denying self. Two, remember the gospel. Remember the good news of salvation by grace through faith. Remember what the gospel is. It's that, do I know it? And from there, can I give it away? And Lord, please give, if there's an opportunity to give it away, please, I don't want to be asleep at the switch. So, the gospel, like submitting to the Lord, having the gospel a priority. Three, allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind through his word. So we have this promise of transformation. Behavior modification is so hard. But that's not... And the legalism side of things, if we drift into that spiritually, it's kind of like that. It's like, I got to try harder to do better. I got to try harder to do better. And that is not how we find salvation. It's the grace of God, and it's through faith. And we can never get that switched around, or it's going to cause problems in our foundation. And when our foundation is all over the place, the cracks run up through the building, or the life in our case. So, remember the gospel. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds through his word. So, what does that mean? Have a practice of being in God's word daily. Probably sound like a broken record at times. How's your quiet time? How are your Bible reading highlights? Where are you reading? What verse stood out to you? What did God speak to you from that verse? This is simply trying to encourage one of the most important foundations that we have, which is hearing from the Lord through His Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work with that. Each one of us needs to hear from the Lord individually from His Word. And He promises, the Lord promises it will happen. Isaiah 55. God's ways are not our ways, thoughts aren't our thoughts, and His Word, it goes out and it accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. So receive it and pray that it accomplishes what the Lord desires in your life. So when it comes to having our minds transformed or being transformed rather than conforming, this is very important. As we learn from the Lord through His Word, and the Holy Spirit works with that, we will be transformed. That's a promise. Where are we at? I think number four, pray. The Word, hearing from God, prayer, speaking to God, both very important foundational things. Relationships. Relationships, if there's no communication, our relationships, they suffer. It's like this with the Lord too. We need to hear from Him. We need to speak to Him. And best case, or very important to at least include in this, is speaking to God about His Word. It's surprising how easy it is to forget to do that. Like hearing from God by reading His Word and then praying to Him about all my problems, my list, and forgetting to simply talk to Him about what it is that we heard Him say through His Word. And I am more and more convinced that there's no one better to talk to about the things, say, whether it's the deep things or the simple to understand things of God's Word, than God Himself. It's good practice. For instance, Lord, You tell me not to be anxious and to be thankful and bring everything to You with thanksgiving and expect Your peace. I'm having trouble. Lord, what's going on? I don't have peace. Or Philippians talks about joy all the time. What about me? It's good to talk to other brothers and sisters about this, but don't forget to talk to the Lord. So pray. Here's one, and this I saw in I quoted Warren Wiersbe earlier, and he also had this. So five, mind your mind through the day. So mind your mind. Meaning consider what's going through it. Consider attitudes, consider actions. Am I magnifying Christ? Am I content? Do I have peace from God? This may take us back to praying. Lord, this is what's going on. But mind your mind. And then also another one, which it lands in the same category. But I put a separate title on this one. Guard your mind. Guard your mind always. So in that sense of minding our mind and reflecting on it and also guarding, Philippians 4:8, which some of you have memorized, and this is a good one. to be able to recall at any point in any day. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Guard your mind, or you could say mind your mind. Are my thoughts true? Are they noble? Are they pure? Are they just? Are my actions or attitudes, same thing? My heart, it's very convicting. It can be discouraging to try and put this into practice and go. Okay, check. No. This thing is not lovely. This thought, this attitude, this action. Don't get discouraged. Just keep bringing God's word into your life and going, Lord, this is what you desire for me, and this is what I desire as well. So help me. And it's going to help. Bring God's word into it. And that applies to whatever the situation or scenario is. It might not be this scripture. It might be another one. Be in God's word. He's going to show you what that scripture is for what you're walking through. Last thing. Rejoice in the upward call. And this is a basic. Rejoice in the upward call and press on. It is very easy, I think, maybe it's just me, it is easy at times to look at the hardships, the difficulties, the suffering, the things that are attached to being in a fallen world and the hardships, whether it's things done to us or happening to us, or perhaps even, like I think of Paul, I do believe there is a sense with him, like the things that he had done had the potential to haunt him. But not to dwell in these places and take them to the Lord. If we are in a spot of going through things, call upon the Lord, walk through it with him. But in all of it, still, often there isn't joy in the circumstance. But we do have an upward call. There is a prize. Well, it is the upward call. It is that relationship. We are in God's family. We will spend eternity with him. We are citizens of heaven. So in order to press on, we must... Here's what it looks like. We press on. Well, how do we do that? We must press in to God. And we must trust him. So we have to keep going to him. And it's kind of... You run through the list of basics again. Foundations. Be in his word, prayer, have fellowship with other believers, know the gospel, remind yourself of it, share it with others. Oh, yeah, don't conform to the world, be transformed. Lord, help me with that. Obedience, submission to you, Lord. I do want to live that out. So living what we've learned. I hope as we've gone through this that that's a help. I'm very much I like to come back to the basics, because that's if we're not solid in, and I think we can look down when we hear basics. It's like, I don't want to know the basics again of whatever it is. I want to know the the high end, the, like the top level, the fancy stuff. Give me that. None of that will work if we don't have a foundation to build that on. Like, you can't. You don't start your house with the roof. That's just, I don't think. Some of you builders can fill me in if there is a way, but it's got to be supported by something. And foundational, yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Remember the good news. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind through the word. Pray. Pray for the mind of Christ. Mind and guard your mind. And press on and press in. And knowing all this, God is faithful. And I, just the last thing, one of the studies I have really, one of my favorite in the last stretch is our study through Joshua, and I keep going back to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and great, courageous. So the life of faith, it takes courage. It's good to know that. And then steps of faith, obedience to God, take them. And he will follow through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've learned so much from your word, and help us to live what we've learned. And we're thankful that you know everything about each one of us. We're thankful and perhaps a little nervous at the same time, but everything's laid bare before you. You know where we're at. You know where we're going. And so we can bring everything before you, and Lord, we pray, help us not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and ultimately that we would have the mind that you have, or which is in you. Thoughts and a heart and attitudes that reflect what you have modeled for us. So help us with that, Lord. We're thankful that there is a promise of transformation, and that gives us great hope. So, Lord, I pray that we would be able to rejoice that we do have an upward call. We do have salvation. One day we will be in your presence. We look forward to your soon return. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.